Hi everybody, how's everybody doing today? Good, excited, happy to be here on a Monday morning. Thanks a lot for coming from where you are. I'm sure a lot of you went through a lot of traffic and had to take care of a lot of meetings, put them on the side to be here. So thank you very much for joining us. I just want to say one thing. There's this really, really bright light in front of me. So if I walk past back and forth, if I start squinting at you guys, it's not because I'm judging you, it's because the screen's just right in my face. So obviously a lot of you already read this. My name is Muzmel Ahmad. I am a productivity specialist. I was up on the stage earlier. And really what that means is anything that anyone uses on their desktop to get stuff done, that's kind of what my specialty is. And really what I want to focus today to talk to you guys about is, and obviously as our good friend Dilbert here is telling us, is that there's a lot of complication in what the cloud is and what it isn't. And you know, it's kind of a pretty big buzzword that everyone's using these days. You look at any CIO's or CEO's initiative, they're talking about cloud technologies. And you know, no one ever really knows why, though, right? It sounds cool, it sounds really exciting, but you know, why? Like, who cares? You know, that's one more tool for me to deal with, one more workload for me to manage. It's got some benefits to it, but you know, I don't really understand what the real value is behind it. So what I'm going to talk about today is the why, what, how, and when. I like to make it very simple. I don't want to make it complicated and just really focus on these things. And I want to give you very clear and tangible ways that you can address these questions. Michael spoke earlier, the guy, the self-proclaimed office guy, talked a little bit about the why. I really kind of touched on it a little bit, talked about some really important things, but I think it's really important for us to dive into it a little bit further. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk to you about what Microsoft has done to respond to that on a more specific level and how everybody in this room can take something tangible today and bring back value to your organization. And I really, really, truly believe in that. You know, value and value selling and all this stuff, they're buzzwords. And so I've tried very hard to cut through all that stuff and give you a tangible way of actually being able to contribute to your organizations with the great skill sets that you already bring. All right, so that's my promise to you. This weekend, I was at a place, and I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to everybody here about. You know, obviously, it's a very concentrated room of very successful people, very driven people. You're going out of your way to do something. I thought, you know what? What is something really interesting that I can talk to you about that has nothing to do with technology? And I want to talk to you guys about elephants. When you think of an elephant, what comes to your mind? It's this really big animal, right? It's got, you know, it's cool, it's long lasting, they have good memories, but they're a little slow, right? But they're big, they're massive, they're very well established, they're these mammoth animals. But, you know, they're not as maybe agile or as flexible as you'd want, maybe compared to a cheetah or something like that, right? When you're out there in the wild, they're the kind of the big, long-standing behemoths. And the way that I kind of relate to that is, you know, imagine a really large company in that same way. So the interesting thing about elephants is that an average animal, their skull, their head, is around 10% of their body mass. Okay? But an elephant, their head is around 16% of their entire body mass. So how does the elephant keep its head up? Like, how does that make any sense? How can it move around? How can it, you know, look for predators? I mean, biologically speaking, it's actually not really possible for this animal to survive. So how has this animal survived for so long? How has it not gone extinct? Based on its physical abilities, it's limited. It's not like everybody else. And sorry, I realize I'm cutting off the screen. I'll try to stay on this side. What scientists discovered was the inside of the skull of an elephant is actually not completely full. It's actually hollow. Now think about that. It's hollow and it's more like this connective tissue, almost like a honeycomb, right? Anybody here seen a honeycomb? It's like this kind of structure and it's kind of almost perfect, kind of mind-blowing how they make that. The inside of an elephant skull is hollow. And this hollow connective tissue almost looks like a bit of a network, right? If you look at it, they're all kind of connected. Everybody's doing their part. Everybody's pulling their weight. And that's the reason why the elephant can keep its head up, because there's no other way. It wouldn't survive without this way. And so what I want you to think about is, as a large organization, as an enterprise with several thousand people, how can you keep your head up? How can you be this large, you know, fat company, if you will, and still, you know, move around, be flexible and agile? And the interesting thing is that this isn't just an idea. It's not just a concept. Audi actually realized this. Their scientists realized this on their own. They were looking for better ways to have structure into their products without sacrificing on strength and flexibility. And so you actually can look at an A7 model or a lot of the Audi models. The way they design their car, if you pull out that panel, it has a very similar network effect. It has a very similar web-like way of strengthening it while giving it flexibility. So what I want you to think about is really imagine how can you strengthen the position of your firm and giving it the right connective tissue, but still be light, agile, and flexible. All right, so that's really that's the whole point of this conversation that we're having today. So you guys with me? We good? Yeah. All right, thanks. And the reason why this matters is because there's a lot of things happening in your industry. Excuse me. I know there's people here from many different industries. Obviously, if you're mostly from Houston, you're all local, you're probably, you know, in oil and gas, okay? But I didn't want to just bore you to death talking about oil and gas because you guys know that way better than me. So I just took some very general industry trends and what's really happening, right? You heard a lot about this with Michael before, but you know, I got the Internet of Things, you know, you have mobile devices, cloud computing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things are happening. These pressures are happening around you, and you have to deal with them. And you don't always know why. And so if you have these new pressures, but you're this really large animal that's a little slow moving, you know, we use this analogy at Microsoft all the time, that, you know, we're this gigantic cruise ship that's making a change in the way we make waves in the ocean, right? So Microsoft's this big, big ship, like, you know, going through the seas, and we're trying to make a real big turn, right? It's like almost like an elephant in the way that I imagine. This is big behemoth company that's trying to be flexible, trying to move around more like a kayak or a canoe. So all these things are happening, right? I don't want to talk more about these. We all know, right, the shifting budget of power, consumerization of IT. You guys hear this stuff all the time. These are the things that are happening around the world. But who cares? I don't care. But you should care. And the reason why is because you got to figure out, like, what is your strategy to compete in the global market, right? Your competitors are thinking about the same things that you're thinking about. Your partners are thinking about the same things. Your customers are thinking about the same things. What are you doing to adapt to that, okay? And the truth is, right, we talked about this before, the world really has become a very large network. And this is a very, very important thing that I want to reemphasize from what Michael talked about before. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because it's the speed of information that drives change. Okay? There's nothing else that drives change. It's the speed of information. And the honest truth is that a lot of companies really weren't built for change. You know, if you look at it from a manufacturing line perspective, right? You have cars that come inside and they go in, and you know, you got to get the tires on, and you got to do this part, and you got to do that part. I talk a lot about cars. It's really not related, but you know, just think about this assembly line of getting things done. And even if you're not in manufacturing, right, your boss gets something, he sends it to you, you send it to your team, you send it to your underlings, they get it done, they float it back up. You know, you're basically working in this way and then working backwards in this way, and it's kind of hard to change. It's really hard to adapt that quickly, and you have a set of systems and tools that allow you to work, and you have like a margin of flexibility that you have, and it's kind of hard to get out of that. And the really interesting thing is, you know, if you all remember the Boston bombings that happened, you know, about a year and a half ago, does anybody remember how they heard about it or how people talked about it? You know, it typically, you know, you hear some grand story, the FBI or the government tells you something, they give it out to the local state and local governments, they report it to the local newscasters, and then people hear about it. Well, take that entire method of communication and flip it upside down. The way they were getting information, the local authorities were getting fed by people out in the field. People out on the racetrack, you know, tweeting and posting and saying, oh, I saw this, I saw that, I saw a guy with a backpack, I saw this. And so now we're, that whole hierarchical system was just destroyed. And now it's just this interwoven waves of people communicating. And you know, you talk about, well, who cares about that stuff, right? I mean, you're actually making a difference. You really are making a difference. I have some friends that are from Libya. And when they were, when the freedom fighters were looking for their revolution, they were actually using Twitter to have NATO send the GPS location to where the bad guys were. So when I talk about the relevance of speed, what if that information came 2 weeks later? What if that information came 2 months later? What if it came 2 hours later when the bad guys had already left? Right, that speed of information is really what drives that influence. And like I said, by a lot of companies, it's really not our fault. We weren't really built to handle things this way. But the really interesting thing is how many people in here are doing the exact same thing they were doing last year, or the year before that, right? Non-routine work. And the thing about this is, you know, the things that we did yesterday are not the things that we're going to do tomorrow. How many times has your manager asked you to do something and he says, oh yeah, you know, I want you to go figure out how to do this. And you push back and you go, hey, well, how? I mean, anybody I can talk to, any resources, any ideas? And he's like, no, no. You know, that's why we hired you. We hired you to figure this out because we want you to be able to do this. That's really non-routine work. It's doing things differently. It's doing things that you've never done before. And according to Gartner, right, who are our best friends in every single way, talk to us about how non-routine work is actually on the uptick. So basically what this means is the things that you're trained to do every single day, the things that there's processes and rules and procedures for, those are going to become less and less and less as time goes on. And the big, hairy, audacious goals that you're working on, those cool, special projects, that's going to be more of what you do. More human interaction where things are becoming automated. But the interesting thing is, you know, a lot of people can relate to this. Let's say you have somebody who works out in the field, and they have a question about how something's supposed to be done, or the way it's supposed to be done. And the person who actually knows the answer is on this other side of the organization. They're far away. So let's say this issue affects revenue or slows down product delivery cycles or really increases cost. This person has a question about it. And how many weekly and monthly and quarterly reports from sales managers, regional sales managers, national sales managers, how many times does that problem have to escalate until somebody realizes, oh, we've got a major issue with our costs. Our cost is just out of control in this segment or this sector. How long does it take for that to happen? And maybe this person on the other side of the organization, maybe they're the ones who know. They know the answer to that. So how do you kind of, just like I talked about flipping that thing upside down, how do you make that happen? And that's the kind of things that you want to think about when you think about how do you really add value to an organization. But what we have to understand is the reason why this happens. This person who has this question lives in this world. And as you can see, just like in the Boston bombing example, and the Libya example, and the example for any other situation, people don't live in a hierarchical society. It's not obviously cultures and religions create some of that. But I mean, fundamentally speaking, they have other sources of information. They have Twitter, they have Google, they have Facebook, they have Bing, they have LinkedIn, they have every single way of looking and understanding a problem. So they bring this insight and this questioning and this same rational thought process to work and say, well, you know, how can we do this way? Or how do I address this problem that my customers are having? And you know, the question is like, all right, Moose, this is really great, telling us some really nice stuff. I understand, cars, analogies, elephants, et cetera, et cetera. What does this matter to me? Why should I care about this? Right? This isn't my job. I got other things that I have to do. But the honest truth is, the same problems that you have, they're the same problems that your competitors have, and the same problems that your customers are facing. So if you have that understanding, if you understand how these things are affecting you and you can react faster, you're going to, one, stand out as an individual contributor and what value you bring to your organization and what things you're talking about and the way that you're helping build better teams and build better value in your organization. These things are happening whether we like them or not, whether we want to address them, whether there's initiative in a 10K, or there's a C-suite executive who's supporting one of these things. These things are happening. And if we're aware of them, we can do better and, you know, be more productive in our daily lives and add more value to the organization and truly accomplish something really great. The downside to this is what happens if you don't respond. The downside is if you keep doing things the way we're doing them, or you keep iterating the way they're iterating, when the time your cycle comes back, somebody else has already beaten you to it. I mean, you look at what startups have done, you know, what the venture capital industry has done to displace so many places. This disruption, these companies back here, you don't really see them too much anymore. I mean, if you think about what happened to Blockbuster, right? What happened to those guys? They were the big elephants on the block. And somebody came in and just kind of slowly chipped away and chipped away and chipped away, and now you don't really see them anymore. I actually heard that they still do something in Alaska, believe it or not. But you know, the reason why this matters is that Jack Welch says that if the rate of change on the outside, if it exceeds the rate of change on the inside, the end is near. And what that really means is if your customers, your competitors, and your industry is moving faster than you are, you're going to get left behind in the dust. And we don't want you to do that. And so what have we responded with? Right, as I mentioned before, Microsoft, in and of its own, we've grown up quite a bit. You know, we've gone through a whole lot of change, and this big cruise liner that I'm talking about that's making this big turn, right? What happens if you turn a ship too fast? Uh-oh, right? A little bit of trouble. So what have we done? You know, we're trying to move as fast as we can as well, and have we responded? You know, this is more about you and less about us. You know, in this conversation today, I remember there's a guy named Richard, the orange bearded guy, who said, you know, if I knew I was going to be talking about iOS apps, or if I was going to be talking about Android at a Microsoft conference, you would have told, you know, there's no way I would have believed you. And so the things that we're doing, it's more about how you work and the way you work, and using our stuff to help you make that better, whether you're using it on an iPad or an Android device or a touchscreen device or a non-touchscreen device. And it's all about the way you and your organization and your culture and how our technologies can fit within that. Now, this is our quote from our CEO talking about, you know, while we have seen great success, we are hungry to do more. Our industry does not respect tradition. It only respects innovation. And Microsoft had a very traditional way of selling, right? Well, how did we sell to you guys before? How many do you want? How much of do you want it? And you buy it from us, and then good luck, right? We come back in 2 or 3 years and say, hey, how about that new version, right? We've got these new features and these new benefits, and you're thinking, oh, you know, that's great, but the stuff that we use, you know, we don't really know how to use it, or it kind of got messed up, or it's not really meeting what we need, and we're like, hey, that's really nice, but how about this new version, right? Obviously, that's really, really frustrating, and I've heard that from so many people, and we're really, really addressing that. We really are, right? As we talked about, right, we had three-year cycles of new products, or 28 months, or whatever he mentioned, and now they're within weeks. Right, things are being, values being added all the time, and it's evergreen. And you know, we're really changing the way that we deal with it, because we really care, and we realize that, you know, maybe we accepted this traditional business model for too long, and it's time for us to change. And we realize that. So I don't want to dive too much into products, because we already learned a little bit about it before, but really I'm just kind of trying to highlight what we've done to actually embrace that change, right? Bringing you guys tools like OneDrive and, you know, Touch and Ink and Voice and all these other cool ways, like I said before, to interact with your documents and your people and your coworkers, and Office 365 for video, and bringing that, you know, live ability to search the information in the video. Somebody's out there in the field recording something, you can document and talk about it, share it, almost like having like a, you know, version of YouTube for your own enterprise, which is pretty special, especially with, you know, the new kinds of people that are coming to work and the way they like to learn. Imagine having that really powerful tool. We talked a little bit about Delve, the ability to find things quickly on your own, and you know, this is really what I want to focus on, right? I mean, talking about the value of adoption. And I want to just have a very frank conversation with you guys. So when, I work in sales, and adoption doesn't really matter to me from a perspective of, what my role is at Microsoft. But I've actually found that, we can sell you something really great. We can sell you this whiz bang tool that's got these features and this functionality, and here's a use case or here's that case. And you're like, yeah, that's really great. But, how do we get people to actually use it? You can buy the newest tool. So it's a purchase process, it's a deployment process, and then whatever happens after that. Right? So we usually focus on the first two parts of that. Hey, here's the tool, here's how you can use it, and then here's all the technical ways of getting this tool within your environment. But who cares if nobody uses it? Right? Who cares? You got this great tool, and I'm sure you have so many things that you've purchased or invested in, and no one uses it. The adoption and uses of that tool is really what matters. Whether it's a power drill or a screwdriver, you'd rather them use something than nothing, right? And how do you make that happen? How do you help, create the excitement, the motivation, and the belief that tomorrow can be better, that things don't have to be the way they are now, and we don't have to be afraid of this new way of doing things? So the challenge is that you're actually facing today are really around driving adoption, that it takes time. And deployment alone, as I said before, that's not enough, right? You can deploy and you can say you delivered this value, but you're going to be revisiting that product or that transaction because you're like, well, we invested all this time and money. What are we doing with it? We don't want you to ever have that situation with Office 365. We never want that. And things are always changing. They're always moving. So how are you kind of pinning yourself down to a moving target? How are you adapting to that part of it? And what I really want to focus on is talking about every one of your companies has some kind of initiative. Okay, like here's the how, right? Here's the value that you can take back to your organizations now. And we're going to do an exercise that I want to talk to everybody here about. But what your goal is that, being part of a lot of decisions in organizations, we've at least learned how these decisions are made. There's some initiative that somebody has, either a stakeholder or a shareholder, that says, we want to accomplish blank, right? We need to have better relationships with our partners. We need to have better, reduce our cycle times from product innovation. Right? There's always something about that. We need to reduce our risk in IT security, et cetera, et cetera. There's always some generic things, but there's some things that, create those special projects and certain initiatives and reasons why they hired you. There's a reason why they hired you, the very person sitting in here, that you can do something. You can help the company figure something out, solve a problem that they've never been able to solve before. And right, our Microsoft response to that is, right, you can use our stuff, Office Pro Plus, and you can be learning. There's breakout sessions for all these things. Using Link Online to communicate, collaborate, SharePoint Online, right? So you guys are obviously very aware of the tools that we have. It's not what is the tool, it's well how, right? How do we help use that tool? And before we go into the exercise, I want, to remind everybody here, you guys all know this, is, what is your job as IT? And I'm not here to tell you what your job is, right? You guys know way better than me. But we think that it's to be an enabler, to give them the tools to be able to do their job, right? So if somebody's currently using a screwdriver to build a fence, and you're as IT and you're watching them and you're like, oh man, these guys are wasting a lot of time. They're so inefficient, they don't know what they're doing. And you're coming up to them and so you're like, hey, I got these great tools. And they're like, oh man, I don't want to hear it. I just want to do my job, right? The best way to get that person's attention is to come up right next to them and start making that fence, right? Grease your elbows. Just get your hands dirty with them. That's the best way to build trust and rapport. And so what I want to talk to you guys about is how you can actually do that, okay? And the reason why this adoption matters in your organization is because, like I said before, you have ideas on what the business driver is. You have problems that you're trying to solve that the C-suite folks are looking out and saying, okay, this is really going to affect revenue. This is going to affect our costs. How do we strategically defend our You know, it's almost like a chess game. How do we defend our keep to make sure that we maintain the market value we're looking for? And it really all boils down to something like this. Excuse me. It boils down to what are the kind of initiatives in your business that you're trying to change, that you're trying to enable. These are just some basic examples. But here's a really easy one that a lot of people can relate to. You guys have an employee survey, annual employee survey, right? The rankings are usually never very good. It doesn't matter what company you are. There's always, you know, a couple of insights that comes out from it. So we actually had a customer that we're working with right now who had really, really bad employee surveys. So, you know, what does IT have to do with that, right? Has nothing to do with what IT can do, or, you know, it's HR stuff, has nothing to do with IT. Well, the concern that the employees had was they had no idea where the organization was going. They didn't know. They didn't feel like they were a part of something or a part of decision-making process or understanding where this, if I may use the example again, where this cruise ship is heading. They don't know. So they thought about actually using a tool to spit up this way to connect executives with employees, right? Okay, there's a lot of fog in between this hierarchical gap, right? I mean, and if you think about it, why is that important? Maybe 10 years ago, you'd be like, well, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? We're the underlings, they're the executives, they get to do their thing. I mean, and if you think about all these things I talked about, these reversal of the way people communicate, we don't like that anymore. We want to be involved. We want to feel like what we're doing actually matters. It's like, well, why am I working on this if this project's going to get nixed anyways? Or I have no idea what impact my project is going to have on the top line of the company. So this was kind of the sentiment that everybody had, right? So what they decided to do was they were going to use some tool and build something. And, you know, I kind of popped in there and said, hey, why don't you guys use Yammer, for example? Doesn't matter. And this thing just took off. This is a place that's a conservative IT shop. You know, security puts the no in innovation, okay? And it's just taken off. It's taken off. And the feedback is the executives are saying, why isn't this tool being used everywhere? Why don't we have this? You know, have a small pile of people using it. So there's so much excitement. And I have a customer coming to me excited, saying, hey, Moose, can you teach me this? How do we do this? How do we do that? And now we've really changed the dynamic of our relationship because we're helping them add some value. It's not about our stuff. I don't know how many more times I can say that. It's not about our stuff anymore. And you're going to see that with the way we work with you. You're going to see it, I promise. And if you don't see it, you should say something about it. Okay? So that's just one example of real things that we've done. And it's real simple. And what did IT have to do is... it's just so funny. They still don't believe me that it was that simple. It's literally like a switch. You either turn it off or you turn it on. That software as a service, an evergreen service, we're like, oh, what about this? What about that? I was like, no, it's really, really not that big of a tool. And this tool went from 10 people to maybe like over around 1,000 in a few weeks. That's adoption, folks. That's real value. We also had one customer that use it, and it doesn't matter what part of Office 365 it is. But stores are using this tool to communicate with other stores how they sell their best products. So they had a wave of communion dresses. And they were showing, hey, we were having a hard time selling this product. We designed it this way. We put the stores around it this way. We put these socks over here. We put these hair bands over there. And, man, it just took off like that. That's real value, right? And if you can be the one who enables that conversation, you don't have to be the one with the idea, right? You don't have to be the one with the idea. You have to be the one who enables that conversation to take place, right? You're the enabler. You're the conduit that makes that spark fly. That's what we can all do. We can all do this in part of our day jobs or in our free time because, man, you're really making a difference. So that's what they use the store for. And that's what they use this tool for, and that's remarkable. So imagine what you could do out in the oil fields with that, around safety, around compliance. Well, hey, we do it this way. We used to do it this way, and the manual tells us this way, but we can never do it this way, so this is our workaround. Imagine when it comes to OSHA and all those things, how much money you can save from a compliance regulatory perspective. I mean, the ideas, the opportunities are endless. And what I'm going to show you is how to figure out the answers to these questions. And I've done this exercise with a few of my customers before. And what I'd really love is to have my projector to be not switching up on me. All right. This is a really, really basic example of a way that you can today go back to your office and facilitate one of these conversations. And I'm not asking you to really do anything. All right, so I just identified three different kinds of people in your organization. I just want anyone in here to tell me, what are the other kinds of people you have in your company? Just name them out. Perfect. Marketing. Finance. Consultants. Right? That's pretty good. Yeah, executives. Very good.
HR.
Okay.
Legal.
Ooh, legal. We sure you want to have those guys in there? I'm just kidding. Okay, supply chain. Great. So in just 15 seconds, you guys have already done half the work, okay? So really what you would have to do is, just for the sake of space, I'm going to actually do something here real quick just to make it easier for us. My mouse is not being that great. Let's do shrink to fit. Okay. So really, when it comes to even not your Microsoft stuff, anything you guys use, okay? Whatever we talked about is just facilitating that conversation, getting those two people to talk to each other. And as IT, if you do that, you will get recognized, right? If you're at a good company, they'll know, man, this person's moving and shaking. They're getting stuff done. So just give me an example, right? It doesn't have to be right. It's just an idea. This is one type of role, and this is the same role put out to the side, okay? And all I want you to think about is, how can sales talk to sales? What are the things that, if I'm a salesperson, and I want to talk to another salesperson, what are the kinds of things that I could talk about to change or influence a business driver? Like, let's say I want to cut costs or grow revenue. What are the things we could talk about? Processes, very good, right? Anything else? Right. Ooh, very good. Best practices. That's a good one. Right, we got a lot of IT folks in here, right? So what could the folks in the field talk to people in IT about? Any field. Right? Benefits. You know, anything maybe around what tools they use?
Innovation.
Perfect. Innovation. I love it. Right? What else? Use cases, okay? Very good. You guys see where I'm going here? Right? I don't want to be pedantic by any means. I see a lot of heads nodding. This is so simple. This is so simple and so easy. And what you can do is, right, benefits, innovation, use cases, right? I'm a Microsoft seller, so I'll just tell you, benefits. What if they had a great way that you could use, you know, a tool like SharePoint to house all this information so it's all in one place and it's easy for them to access, blah, blah, blah. All right, you could use SharePoint for that. Innovation, well, right, is email the best way for innovation? So do you want the people in the field emailing people in IT, but hey, we can do this, hey, we can do that? Well, what if you just created some kind of a group or a discussion or a, you know, lean team? At this company that I talked about before, they had this team called an ACE team. It was like, you know, application, you know, consumption effectiveness or something. They're just a lean team, and their job is to just take whatever they're doing and change it up. That's what their job is. It's not their real job. It's just kind of a stretch goal that they have. Well, those guys are just having a heyday with this because they can talk about almost anything. These use cases, right? Whether you're using OneDrive or Yammer or Delve, I mean, the possibilities are endless. And if you guys already have 365, you can use this tool to completely change the way you guys communicate with each other. And this is Excel, right? So just a quick plug, you can make this shareable, share this with a bunch of people in finance and say, hey, we really want to change the way we interact with finance, right? Let's say you're IT. You want to change the way. What are all the ways that we could have, you know, addressed your issues, right? Latency issues. I mean, IT and vendor management, they have contracts flying back and forth via email all the time. So vendor management will approve a check or approve an invoice, and IT is like, oh, hey, that was the wrong version. Sorry. Well, my email didn't refresh in time. I already made all the changes and edits to this one. And they're just playing football back and forth. And who's got the hot potato, right? We all experience that problem. We all experience that problem. That's a really small thing you can do to really enable that kind of benefit and really give value back to that. So I want somebody, you know, a volunteer here, anybody tell me, like, what could you take from this and what can you take back now? Just brainstorming. We got other people here that can help you and talk about what else you can do. Has anybody done something like this before? Has anybody seen, you know, do you guys see value in doing something like this? It's pretty easy, right? It's just a Excel spreadsheet and it's just talking. So anybody here, anybody tell me what, you know, you could do with a tool like this? Like, how could you possibly use some of the tools you currently have to enable this kind of change? Nobody? I know people are thinking. I'll give you some more time. Please.
So I think something like this would be of great use to manage ideas within the company.
Perfect. That's exactly right.
And that could be something that somebody higher up can take up and maybe productize it or something of that sort.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And please.
What if we got a little bit meta with it, and you're talking about deploying and getting people to use Office 365, what if you use these channels and these tools to communicate to people about?
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Right, so, you know, one great example that reminds me of what we've done at another customer is they used, you know, a tool like Yammer to basically get feedback on how each section of their deployment was going. So they're deploying Exchange Online, they're using SharePoint Online, they're doing, you know, Office Pro, Click to Run, and, you know, they're having some user issues or whether or not, instead of, you know, we all have pains that we deal with every day, right? I have issues with my PC that, you know, if I realize if I want to go ahead and make this call to help desk, it may take a lot of time. You know, maybe a little painful for me, so I'll just deal with the pain, right? We all have some issue on our computer that we want to get fixed, but we know we don't want to be without it for X number of hours, and we got stuff to do, and so we just deal with it. But if somebody were to say, oh, hey, you know, somebody wrote a thread and said something like, hey, I got this massive problem with my screen. I can't get it to work properly. And all you got to chime in is say, oh, hey, yeah, you know, I got that same problem. Done. 20 seconds of insight. Not really, you're not really making a U-turn in what you're doing that day. You're not spending time on the phone with support. That's going to get you to use a tool. When this tool sings in harmony what issues and problems you're having, you're going to pay attention to it. And the problem is we have a lot of really good tools. We all have tools. You guys don't need another tool, I can promise you that. It's the way you use the tools and the stories behind how you use those tools that's what's really going to matter, right? That's really what's going to make the difference. I want to tell you guys another story real quick about how you know, we'll just go back through this part here. All right, so another question we get from people when we're talking about Office 365 is how quickly can I see my payback? Right, when can I see results? You know, we need to have immediate value, no soft costs. We need to take out these costs. You know, how do we offset that? We have these conversations all the time. You know, people want to see immediate results. And what a lot of people do is they want to take their biggest, hairiest, heaviest workload, take something like Exchange, and start to, okay, why don't I move this thing and move it over there and, you know, there's complications, there's back and forth, and you know, that's a good strategy if you want to use it, but I've got another idea, okay? And if you don't agree with the idea, feel free to challenge me on it. But you know, we have a customer like named Red Robin, who basically, whenever they had issues around the way they wanted to get things done, they'd hire like a BCG, they'd hire a Bain, they'd hire a McKinsey, get these cool consultants wearing suits, you know, to come in and ask the people all these questions, right? They would interview, guess what? Finance, sales, marketing, IT, all those people on the list that I talked to you guys about, they would do that work and they would come back with a big long report and they'd say, hey, here's all your problems, have a nice day, right? And by the way, it's $1 million or two for you know what your problems are. You know what the funny thing is? You guys know exactly what those problems are. You guys already know. You know, and you're in a position to make more of a change than any expert consultant can. So what they did at Red Robin is the CEO was trying to figure out how to cut cost. He had a big initiative around cutting cost. And what they decided to do was the CEO posed a question to the field and said, if there's anybody in the field who can tell me what is the best recurring way to save costs, it can't be like, we're going to move from one supplier to the other, right? That's a one-time easy thing. This guy charges a nickel, this guy charges 2.5 cents, right? More operating costs. Like, what's the best way we can save and change the P&L for our stores? And they had hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, respond back with, I got this idea, I got that idea, I got this idea. Went through all of the ideas and called through and picked the best of them and then investigated each one and ended up making a selection. What they actually ended up finding was using a cup, the way they were giving their kids meals was a bit expensive. So they find a way to use a disposable cup instead, which saved them a lot of money. So just an idea like that, right? It's a kind of a silly thing, you know? A CEO poses a question, people respond back, but they saved a few $1 million. I mean, they probably would have told them the same thing if they used their consultants. And they used to have a really long cycle time. They used to take them several months to develop a new burger, right? They sell a lot of burgers and, you know, they have the bacon blue cheese ranch burger and the next week they have that burger. And so they're always, you know, using their product innovation cycles, right? And the way you develop your products, the way you market your products, the way you brand your products, that takes a lot of time, right? Remember that assembly line I talked to you about? Think about product innovation in that way, right? And this long assembly linear line, and what if you could swarm around it, right? What would happen? Well, a real business case is it now takes them 4 to 5 weeks to develop a brand new product. And so they're being very agile in the way their customers make buying decisions. They can respond extremely quickly. That's really, really powerful. What if you could take that innovation or that even that mindset out to your customers, right? To your employees or your customers, your coworkers. It's a phenomenal win for you in your personal career as well. And also just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about understanding how hard adoption is, okay? So as I told you before, you know, I don't work in adoption. This isn't my expertise, but I care a lot about it because I know how much it matters. I had a customer who we were talking about OneDrive to about 100 folks in the room. So, you know, in my mind, I'm a Microsoft guy, so I'm like, yeah, you know, OneDrive gives you mobility, you know, it's backup, it's all this, you know, cool technical jargon that I'm all excited about. And we start talking to the users about it, and you know, maybe this was a exception to the rule, but we found their users were very good in their industry, but man, they were technically so unsound that it wasn't even funny. It was almost comical how unsound they were when it comes to technology. And I see a lot of people smiling because you may also realize that you may have really smart industry people, but their ability to really connect the dots and use these great, beautiful tools that you've worked so hard to do all your research, do all your homework, and say, no, this is a tool for our culture, our industry, our regulatory standards. And they're like, oh, I don't know how to use this thing. Oh, I'm really scared. I'm just going to keep using this the way that I already use it. So they had a bunch of file shares, right? They had local file shares on-prem for their customers, and they kept all their stuff from there. And I had... We were showing them how they could save one of their documents out to the cloud. And that concept in and of itself of creating a local copy and creating a copy out in the cloud was something that we kind of had to hold our hands by. So what I'm trying to say is that we truly understand, we didn't before, we truly understand what pain you guys have to go through, because we're doing it out there. I'm there with you guys, holding hands. I was literally on 100 computers, like moving the mouse, saying, hey, here's the cloud syncing, it's going back and forth. Right, here's your files, don't worry, they're okay, they're safe. Right, here's how you mass move your files from one place to the other. Just doing basic stuff like that is a very humbling experience. So trust me when I say that I understand that when we're talking about a new set of tools, you know, Delve, OneDrive, Office, Click to Run, SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, that I understand what you guys go through. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of patience. But we can do it together. We can do it together because we understand your pain. One of the other interesting things also we talked about is, once again, right, you can get a fancy tool, but who cares? What's the point of using it? I don't want to use it. One more thing for me to manage. The same customer, they had a lot of times where their employees would go internationally. So they would leave their teams and their customers, and they would go work with suppliers and buyers all around the world. And what would happen is, you know, since they're international, they don't have connectivity to their, you know, CorpNet. And if they don't have that access to CorpNet, you really can't do anything. So they're out there for a week or two, working on all their files locally. They come back, and the information they're working on, it's almost like speaking a different language with other teams. Their team didn't stop working because they were out of the country, right? And so what they're able to do with a tool like OneDrive is be able to keep their files and stay in sync and go back and forth. And they can update it here. They can update it simultaneously with their team. And I'll never forget this. The smile on the lady's face when she found out that she could still do her work when she was across the globe, you know, that really, that to me, first of all, was surprising. You know, we take this kind of stuff for granted. We're like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I can be anywhere. My PC can crash. I can launch up another computer. It's no big deal. Like, I take this stuff for granted. But they were like, you're telling me we can continue to do A, B, C, D, even so we don't have to stop working? We don't have to stop being productive? And I guess who was in the room at that time? IT from this customer was there. They brought us in, and they were talking. We were talking to them how you can use the tool, best practices, et cetera. IT had a gigantic smile on their face. They're like, yeah. We brought this value to you guys. It was incredible. It was great. It was so nice to be able to work together in that way. So remember, when you're thinking about adoption and what value it brings, if you pick the right tool set and you have an understanding of the vision of what it can accomplish, it can do incredible things for your organization. Incredible things. And what I would encourage you to do is work with your local account teams to figure out what are these ideas, what are these situations, what are these scenarios that we can work on together. And they're really smart people. They'll help you do it. They'll help you do it, understanding what's happening in your business, in your industry, your 10K, if you guys are a public company, what your initiatives are. Talk to us about them. We'll help you. We'll all look like rock stars in the end, and that's really the goal, right? So, you know, we talked about Delve as well, finding things that matter, that are relevant to you. You know, getting out of this deployment of Office, right? I mean, we have at some of our best customers, folks that are on Office, you know, 2010, 2007, and you have that up, you know, when you have to convert the 2007 file to the 2010, and it loses some of the macros and some of the fidelity of the file, and you never know if you're really looking at the same thing. I mean, get out of that mess. Get out of it, right? Let us handle that for you. And, you know, we always think about the cost of what that's going to take, right? A lot of the IT folks in here, you guys understand, you know, Office is a very large line item on your Microsoft bill. But if you think about how you were to license your entire enterprise, right? If you think about that entire mobility, imagine all of the devices that you have at your organization. And if you had to buy Office for every single one of them, not even Office, but any other tool, that's nowhere a line item in anyone's budget. But with 365, it's all user-based, so they can install it on 5 PCs, 5 cell phones, 5 tablets, and it's all under the same license. That's real value. If you want to talk about hard dollar savings, you don't have to buy that many licenses anymore. And we also talked about the importance of attracting and retaining talent. Right? When you look at the way people do work in their daily lives, and they're coming to work and they don't have those tools, that's got to be really frustrating. You know, we had a situation at a customer who was in retail, whose employees would use Facebook and WhatsApp and Twitter to share best practices about how they do their jobs. Which, as an employee, is remarkable, right? It's awesome. And from a very, very, very high level perspective, you're like, hey, that's cool. They care, they're engaged, they're adding value, but there is no tools for them to use. So is it better that they don't do it at all? Is it better that they don't have that innovation or that engagement or that retention and that love for what they're doing in their careers? How can we change that? How can we give them those tools, that same experience and what they have in their personal lives or their personal tools and what they bring to the enterprise? And the people in this room right now, you guys are the ones that can help change that. So I talked a little bit about, you know, the why, the what, the how, and the when, right? Why is this stuff important? You know, what has Microsoft done to position ourselves to help you? How can you do it, right? I've shown you guys some cool tools, just some really basic stuff, right? No one likes anything complicated. It takes too much time. It's too much of a detour. But a single row and a single column is something everybody in this room can do. And I promise, you show this to one of your teammates, you show this to somebody else, they will just, they'll fill it in for you. Okay, well, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. Go through all of them. Find the ones that are the biggest priorities. You may have some initiatives around them. And now, at the end of the year review, when your boss asks you, what have you done? You can say, well, we have this initiative. I worked on this. We bought these tools. We didn't really know what to do with them. Now we are using these tools, and people are using them, and it's affecting A, B, C, and D. That's a great story that everyone here can tell. And I know you can do it, and we can help you get there. So remember, when we're thinking about, you know, what we've talked about today, it's the organizations and the companies that we're in. You know, we want to be more flexible. We want to be agile, but it's a little hard to do, right? So how can we, like a community, like a network, think and behave like the skull of that elephant and be able to be quick and flexible and lightweight, but still be really strong when we work together? So hopefully now, you know, when this guy's confused, wondering what I'm talking about, you know, maybe he's also wondering about what the heck elephants have to do with productivity. But hopefully you guys don't. Hopefully you guys have a bit of a better understanding on that. All right, so they asked us again, as I told in the very beginning, to plug this event to make sure you guys are there if you are, if you have the time. But I wanted to thank you guys very much for your attentiveness. I appreciate, you know, I didn't see very many people at all distracted. So thank you for your attention. And I want to ask you guys if you had any questions or any comments or feedback. I mean, do you think this is something that you can do, or is what I'm saying total garbage, right? Just, it doesn't work. It's too hard. I mean, talk to me about it. We're here. You can say whatever you want to say. Yeah. Yeah.
How do we as a system integrator adapt to that change faster so that we are ready for our customers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can answer that question from a non-technical perspective, but really is, you know, maybe you know the answer to this or not, but if you're open for that change as well, you'll be more ready for the wave that's coming. And yeah, we get this comment all the time, right? All right, you know, first Microsoft, you guys were taking 3 years to deploy new versions of stuff, and we could barely keep up with that. You know, we're always on the N-1 version of whatever you guys are doing, security patches or whatever. And now you're iterating so much faster, and we have a really hard time keeping up with that as well. So we really understand that. You know, I think Avi is going to be talking a little bit about, you know, in the next sessions that we have here. So this session is more about kind of the what and the why and all that stuff. I think with this adoption methodology, you know, Avi, and if you come to the other adoption sessions, we'll address those kind of concerns and points on, yeah, we iterate so quickly, you know, it was first 3 years, now it's 4 to 5 weeks. What do we do? How do we keep up with that change? I think those sessions will really help you address that. I'm sure everybody has that question here. Anybody else? Yeah. You know, as we mentioned this before, and I'm glad you asked, is, you know, people don't get excited about things that that won't help them. People get excited about things that they're like, oh my gosh, I can use this to do A, B, C, and D. And if you help them make it more personal, that, you know, we're launching a couple of tools, these 365 tools at a customer right now. And the way they get excitement is really, it's people are inviting other people to it. IT sets the foundation. They say, hey, this is a tool that lets you do A, B, C, and D. They add their, you know, usage rights, their agreements in the beginning. They set the tool, and they help work with those business partners and other units and say, hey, we have this tool. Play with it. Go have fun. They introduce the tool and let them go wild. Because, you know, I don't know how you're perceived by a lot of, you know, your business users. I'm probably a good mix in here. But getting IT's brand back to the enabler is the first step, right? So you want to build that trust with them and basically have just, you know, talk about how we can help them do a specific task. I think that's the best way to get somebody excited about something, is because they know that, you know, in my 8 hours today, I have to spend 6 hours doing things that are not fun and 2 hours doing things that I think are really fun. Help them realize they can spend more time doing the fun stuff and using tools to help them minimize the unfun stuff. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, just to build on that a little bit. So we have the Microsoft Experience Center here where you can kind of get hands-on with Office 365 throughout the next couple of days. I have a customer who has actually built out that same kind of experience on site. So they set up, you know, 6 to 8 workstations, and they bring people in, and they talk through the scenarios just like Moon's talking about, saying, you want to be able to have access to your files anywhere on the go, maybe you're a road warrior. So they're talking about how to use the tools in those scenarios. And I've been kind of pointing to saying that users don't really have a OneDrive problem. They don't have a link problem necessarily. They have a problem where I need to access files wherever I'm at. I need to connect with people wherever I'm at. And so they're using this kind of Microsoft experience to be able to talk about their specific scenarios.
Did you have a comment as well?
What I've seen is when you start small and you're able to highlight a particular business case or user, have that user speak on behalf of their success, almost turn them into an advocate. So it's almost like you're creating a champion inside of the business, and then having those folks talk to all their peers and show them how they derive benefit. That other people seeing something, so it's not like IT pushing something, it's they're seeing other peers being successful with the tool or a solution that was built for them.
Any other comments, feedback, concerns, questions? Okay, so there's one last thing I want to talk to you guys about. It's these evaluations. They really matter to us. As I said before, you know, we really do care. There's evaluations. I think it's 1 through 5. 5 is the best. So whenever it pops up, I think we're a little early, by 12 minutes earlier. I think 12:30 it'll pop up. If you guys could fill that out for me, I'd really, really appreciate it. It's at basically office365.summits.com, where you sign up for it, and then click on evaluations in the top right-hand corner, and it'll show you the sessions that you were in. And if you guys could do that evaluation, I'd really appreciate that. there's not anything else, I want to thank you guys very much for your time. Thanks for paying attention. And it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you. And I've given you guys 11 minutes back to your life, so enjoy them.